emotions rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. And there I find you in the mysteries, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, where
thank you, Faith. I'm glad it went out. It was holding you back. That was beautiful. Thank you so very much for that. I love that song. That's just a wonderful song. Thank you so very much. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Okay. Good morning. How are you all doing? All right, well, you come on over here. All right, everyone grab you an egg. Easy now, easy. I don't think we're going to have enough. Just grab one and move along. Everyone get one? Oh, good. Here you go. Anybody else need one? All right, that's all of them. Did everyone get one?
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay, we're missing it. We will make sure to get one for everyone else. All right. So what do we got in there? A cross necklace. What does the cross signify? Why do we have the cross in worship? Does anyone know? Because Jesus died on the cross, right? And today is Palm Sunday, and as you all came in earlier with the palms, Jesus came to Jerusalem, And on Friday, we are going to remember Jesus' death on the cross. And so throughout the course of this week, as we go to school and as we play and as we do the various things that we do, I want us to be mindful of what takes place this week. And on Friday, we will remember Jesus' death on the cross, all right? And do you know why Jesus died on the cross? For our sins, that's right. Because he loves us, right? And because he wants us to be with him in heaven, right? And so we have the opportunity not just to recognize Jesus' death on the cross, but we have an opportunity to thank him for that and to tell him and to tell others that we want to be his followers, okay? So I hope and pray this week that you all will be mindful of that. And if you all have questions about it, ask your parents, ask me, ask our teachers, okay? Because we want to tell you all about that, all right? All right, so let's bow our heads and pray, and then you all can go to children's church. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, for his willingness to take the cross upon himself. We pray that as we attempt to carry the crosses you have laid on us, that we would do so proudly, that we would rejoice in the fact that we have the opportunity to come alongside you in this way. We thank you for your love and for your salvation, and we pray that you would just continue to be with these children, help them to grow into the men and women that you have called them to be. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go to children's church. Do not just reach your hands into a basket with eggs in it when there are kids around. You may not come back with a hand. This morning's scripture lesson is quite a lengthy one. Matthew, I don't know, it's one of the Gospels. It's in the Bible. Matthew 26, verses 14 through 27, verse 66. I want to read this in its entirety this morning, because it's important for us to not just hear the story that we're familiar with or that we like to hear or have comfort in, but to hear it as Matthew tells it. Undoubtedly, this morning as I read it, there will be things that you're like, well, wait a second, what about this or what about that? And far too often we put all the stories together and we don't just hear the one author's interpretation of all of the events that took place. And so this morning, as we consider the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us hear Matthew's account of Jesus' final hours. Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 27, 66. Hear now the word of our Lord. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I turn Jesus over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, he was looking for an opportunity to turn him in. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you the Passover meal?" Jesus replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and say, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" The disciples did just as Jesus instructed them. They prepared the Passover. That evening, he took his place at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "I assure you that one of you will betray me." Deeply saddened, each one said to him, "I'm not the one, am I, Lord?" He replied, "The one who will betray me is the one who dips his hand with me into this bowl. The human one goes to his death, just as it is written about him. But how terrible it is for that person who betrays the human one. It would have been better for him if he had never been born." Now Judas, who would betray him, replied, "It's not me, is it, Rabbi?" Jesus answered, "You said it." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." He took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you and for many, so that their sins may be forgiven. I tell you, I won't drink wine again until that day when I drink it in a new way with you in my Father's kingdom." Then after singing songs of praise, they went to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Tonight you will all fall away because of me. This is because it is written, 'I will hit the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will go off in all directions.' But after I'm raised up, I'll go before you to Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if everyone else stumbles because of you, I'll never stumble." Jesus said to him, "I assure you that before the rooster crows tonight, you will deny me three times." Peter said, "Even if I must die alongside you, I won't deny you." All the disciples said the same thing. Then Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to the disciples, "Stay here while I go and pray over there." When he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, he began to feel sad and anxious. Then he said to them, "I'm very sad. It's as if I'm dying. Stay here and keep alert with me." Then he went a short distance farther and fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not what I want, but what you want." He came back to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you stay alert 1 hour with me? Stay alert and pray so that you won't give in to temptation. The spirit is eager, but the flesh is weak." A second time he went away and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible that this cup should be taken away unless I drink it, then let it be what you want." Again he came and found them sleeping. Their eyes were heavy with sleep. But he left them and again went and prayed the same words for the third time. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Will you sleep and rest all night? Look, the time has come for the human one to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. Look, here comes my betrayer." While Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came. With him was a large crowd carrying swords and clubs. They had been sent by the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had given them a sign, "Arrest the man I kiss." Just then he came to Jesus and said, "Hello, Rabbi." Then he kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came and grabbed Jesus and arrested him. One of those with Jesus reached for his sword. Striking the high priest's slave, he cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put the sword back into its place. All of you who use the sword will die by the sword. Or do you think that I'm not able to ask my Father, and he will send me more than 12 battle groups of angels right away? But if I did that, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say this must happen?" Then Jesus said to the crowds, Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me like a thief? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, but you didn't arrest me. But all this has happened so that what the prophets said in the scriptures might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left Jesus and ran away. Those who arrested Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest. The legal experts and the elders had gathered there. Peter followed him from a distance until he came to the high priest's courtyard. He entered that area and sat down with the officers to see how it would turn out. The chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they could put him to death. They didn't find anything they could use from the many false witnesses who were willing to come forward, but finally, they found two who said, "This man said, 'I can destroy God's temple and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood and said to Jesus, "Aren't you going to respond to the testimony these people have brought against you?" But Jesus was silent. The high priest said, "By the living God, I demand that you tell us whether you are the Christ, God's Son." "You said it," Jesus replied. "But I say to you that from now on you'll see the human one sitting on the right side of the Almighty and coming in the heavenly clouds." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He's insulting God. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, you've heard his insult against God. What do you think?" And they answered, "He deserves to die." Then they spit in his face and beat him. They hit him and said, "Prophesy for us, Christ. Who hit you?" Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant woman came and said to him, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it in front of them all, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." When he went over to the gate, another woman saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." With a solemn pledge, he denied it again, saying, "I don't know the man." A short time later, those standing there came and said to Peter, "You must be one of them. The way you talk gives you away." Then he cursed and swore, "I don't know the man." At that very moment, the rooster crowed. Peter remembered Jesus' words, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and cried uncontrollably. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people reached the decision to have Jesus put to death. They bound him, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, who betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned to die, he felt deep regret. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and said, "I did wrong because I betrayed an innocent man." But they said, "What is that to us? That's your problem." Judas threw the silver pieces into the temple and left. Then he went and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the silver pieces and said, "According to the law, it's not right to put this money in the treasury. Since it was used to pay for someone's life, it's unclean." So they decided to use it to buy the potter's field where strangers could be buried. That's why that field is called Field of Blood to this very day. This fulfilled the words of Jeremiah the prophet, "And I took 30 pieces of silver, the price for the one whose price had been set by some of the Israelites, and I gave them for the potter's field as the Lord commanded me." Jesus was brought before Pilate, before the governor. The governor said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "That's what you say." But he didn't answer when the chief priests and elders accused him. Then Pilate said, "Don't you hear the testimony they bring against you?" But he didn't answer, not even a single word. So the governor was greatly amazed. It was customary during the festival for the governor to release to the crowd one prisoner, whomever they might choose. At that time, there was a well-known prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. When the crowd had come together, Pilate asked them, "Whom would you like me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ?" They knew that the leaders of the people had handed him over because of jealousy. While he was serving as judge, his wife sent him a message saying, "Leave that righteous man alone. I've suffered much today because of a dream, of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and kill Jesus. The governor said, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" "Barabbas," they replied. Pilate said, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." But he said, "Why? What wrong has he done?" They shouted even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere and that a riot was starting. So he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I'm innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It's your problem." All the people replied, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus whipped, then handed him over to be crucified. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's house, and they gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a red military coat on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a stick in his right hand. Then they bowed down in front of him and mocked him, saying, "Hey, King of the Jews!" After they spit on him, they took the stick and struck his head again and again. When they finished mocking him, they stripped him of the military coat and put his own clothes back on him. They led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they found Simon, a man from Cyrene. They forced him to carry his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means skull place, they gave Jesus wine mixed with vinegar to drink. But after tasting it, he didn't want to drink it. After they crucified him, they divided up his clothes among them by drawing lots. They sat there guarding him. They placed above his head the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." They crucified him with two outlaws, one on his right and one on his left. Those who were walking by insulted Jesus, shaking their heads and saying, "So you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, were you? Save yourself. If you're God's son, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the legal experts and the elders, were making fun of him, saying, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel, so let him come down from the cross now. Then we'll believe in him. He trusts in God, so let God deliver him now if he wants to. He has said, 'I'm God's son.'" The outlaws who were crucified with him insulted him in the same way. From noon until 3 p.m, the whole earth was dark. At about 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you left me?" After hearing him, some standing there said, "He's calling Elijah." One of them ran over, took a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a pole. He offered it to Jesus to drink, but the rest of them said, "Let's see if Elijah will come and save him." Again, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Then he died. Look, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised. After Jesus' resurrection, they came out of their graves and went into the holy city, where they appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and what had just happened, they were filled with awe and said, "This was certainly God's Son." Many women were watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to serve him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. That evening, a man named Joseph came. He was a rich man from Arimathea who had become a disciple of Jesus. He came to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate gave him permission to take it. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had carved out of the rock. After he rolled a large stone at the door of the tomb, he went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting in front of the tomb. The next day, which was the day after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate. They said, "Sir, we remember that while that deceiver was still alive, he said, 'After 3 days I will arise.' Therefore, order the grave to be sealed until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate replied, "You have soldiers for guard duty. Go and make it as secure as you know how." Then they went and secured the tomb by sealing the stone and posting the guard. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Over the last several weeks, through the season of Lent, we have been focusing on the passion of Jesus Christ, his great love for his Father, and his great love for us. And today we see and have heard the full scope of this love lived out in Christ's death. We see the events of Jesus' death and how he refused to do anything but his Father's will. 3 different times. In chapter 26, verses 39, 42, and 44, Jesus prayed to God, his Father, that his will would be done. He didn't pray for anything more, and he didn't pray for anything less. You'll notice that Jesus deliberately spoke to his Father, and he was deliberately silent before the authorities. As Jesus is preparing for his death, he prays. We must not overlook the honesty with which Jesus prayed. "If it's possible, take this cup of suffering away." He says, secondly, "If it's not possible, that this cup should be taken away." And then we're told the third time he prays the same words. Jesus finds himself here at a crossroads. He wants to do his Father's will. He wants to do what God has established and has set out, but he doesn't necessarily want to do it in this way. Is there another way that this can happen? Is there something else that would suffice? Is there another way? And I wonder this morning how often we have found ourselves in this place. I want to do your will, God, but is there another way to do it? I want to do what you have called me to, but is there another way to go about it? Can I get the easy route, the shortcut, Or are you going to make me go through all of the various ways that are necessary? And it is the humble servants whom Jesus represents, who willingly submits even to the most difficult of tasks. And so we must ask ourselves this morning, are we humble servants? Are we willing to do that which our Father has asked? Jesus pleads to his Father. He begs his Father, is there another way? But he doesn't plead to the Jewish or Roman authorities. When he knows his Father's will, nothing will stop him from it. The betrayal and the abandonment of his friends will not stop him from doing what God has called him to. The threat of death by the Roman or by the Jewish authorities will not stop him from doing what his Father has called him to do. The promise of life by Pilate will not stop him from doing what his Father has called him to. Jesus is resolute in what he must do. I think my favorite thing that Jesus says throughout this passage is you have said it, or that's what you say. He says this three different times. In chapter 26, verses 25 and 64, and then in chapter 27, verse 11. Three times he answers his betrayer and his accusers with this answer. That's what you say, or you have said it. Judas, the high priest, and Pilate. And you notice that when they ask Jesus the questions, they ask, are you the Christ, or is it me, Lord? Or are you the Messiah, as they say? They're not asking from a position of wanting to know. They have already made their minds up. And they are merely looking for him to solidify for them what they know they need to do. Jesus' words are simply meant to indicate what they have already decided. Jesus is trying to get them to own these decisions for themselves. Because at the end of the day, this was their decision. At the end of the day, we are all given decisions that we must make. And they have to own it just as we own it. You'll notice that Judas, the high priest, Pilate, and Jesus himself are all very resolute in what they must do. They know what needs to happen. They know what needs to take place. They know what they've got to do, and they do it. It's so fascinating that there are four different motives here, but one perfect plan, one perfect will. They all know that Jesus needs to go this route. And at least initially, they're all okay with that. We see that Judas has some regret later. It was never his intent for Jesus to die. He was merely trying to force his hand to be the Messiah they had expected, to take up arms and to defeat the Roman adversaries. And Jesus knew that that was not the course of action. We see that Judas, the high priest, and Pilate, all three had very selfish motives. Judas didn't just want Jesus to become the Messiah he had expected, but he might as well make some money off of it as well and then become one of his commanders in chief as Jesus takes control of everything. The high priest, of course, wants to keep things the way they are. You're disrupting the temple, Jesus. We've never done it that way before, Jesus. It's time to move along. And then, of course, Pilate. He's not too concerned with the Jews or with this Messiah, but he is concerned with keeping order in Jerusalem. Because if he can keep order in Jerusalem, it's very likely that he'll get a very good raise and a very good promotion at some point or another. And then we have Jesus, whose motive is very selfless. It's nothing to do with him. Father, if it's possible, let this pass from me, but if it's not, then let your will be done. Four motives, one plan, one perfect will. Today we see the passion of Jesus Christ in full measure. We bear witness to Christ's love for us, even though we are yet sinners. And this, of course, proves Christ's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. May we never forget what has been done on our behalf. May we never forget what continues to be done on our behalf. Glory be to God our Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Holy Spirit. Amen.